Today's Shir is Masechet HaNozer, Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Gimel, Amud Aleph, the top of the line. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had taught us a number of important halachas that we need to review in order to attempt to begin today's Shir. We had learned in the previous Shir that the Torah, when it speaks about the Nazir and the Surim that a Nazir has, in order of getting of not being tamei, the Torah says lo yitamei. There's a lav for nazir to become tamei, and there's also a lav a nafish meis la yavai. A nazir may not enter a place which will make him tamei. And the Gemara, that was one point that we need to make. Another introductory comment is, as we learned in the previous year, once a person has attained a certain level of tumah, the highest level of tumah that he could attain, the halacha is that he cannot be tumah, he cannot become more tumah. So if somebody is to be over the lav of lenefesh layitama, and then also the lav of layavai, we need, the only way such a person can become tumah in such a fashion is if the individual will have the two lavim come simultaneously. And the Gemara at the end of yesterday's shir said that when he's in the house, we could have the two tumas come simultaneously. But ask the Gemara, how and why is that possible? But by Isnami, even when he's in his home, kiven the oil yodeh, the Gemara is saying that when a person normally walks, he walks with his hands in front of him. Since that's the way a person normally walks, with his hands in front of him, when he walks into the house, his hands become tamei. And once his hands become tamei, he's tamei. And if he's a nazir, he's over the lav of lo yitama. As far as bia, to be over the lav of somebody going into the, of a nazir, going into the oil ha-meis, most of his body has to enter that home. But by the time his hands have entered the home, he's already tamei. And as we just said, as soon as he becomes tamei, he can't become any more tamei. So since he's already at the highest level of tumah, how is it possible that he should be over also the lav of layavai? Ask the Gemara, kim the ayal yodeh, as soon as his hands enter the home, astav, he becomes tamei. So afterwards, ki ayal kulei hai, when the rest of his body goes in, he's tameihu, he's already tamei. And since he's already tamei, how could he get the lav of lo yavai, that new action has ready made him tamei as much as he could be tamei? And the halacha explained the Tosfos is that why, as soon as his hand enters the home, does he become tamei? Because if somebody enters an oil hameis, says Tosfos, the entire oil hameis is considered, permeated with tumah. And since it's considered entirely permeated with tumah, when your hand goes into that home, your hand came in contact with tumah. The Mishlo Melech asks an interesting question. Here we're learning that as soon as a person's hands enter a home that is tumah, it's considered like he's tumah. But the halacha asks the Mishlo Melech is that if somebody enters the home of Metzairah, the halacha is bia b'mixus l'shma bia, that just part of his entering of the home is not considered that he entered the home of a Metzairah, and he's not tamei until most of him has entered the home. Why is it different? So Rabbi Chanan in the Kibbutz Shurim explains as follows. When we speak about Oil HaMeis, as Tosfos just taught us, says Rabbi Chanan, the Oil HaMeis is considered as if it's completely permeated with tumah. And since it's considered completely permeated with tumah, so as soon as even part of you enters that home, it's considered that you touch tamei. When we speak about the home of a Metzora, yes, the home of a Metzora is considered Tame, but it's not considered permeated with Tumah. And since it's not considered permeated with Tumah, it's only Tame because you entered the home of a Metzora. And that you have to have entered, most of you has to have entered that home in order for you to be considered Tame. El Amar Belazar, how do we explain the case? Tzirif Yodai, he put his hand into the oil mace. Mishum Tuma Ika, Mishum Bialeka. He's Tame immediately, but he's not Chai for Bia. But Tzirif Gufai, he's going to have to explain that the case of our Mishnah is where he put his hands right next to his body. In other words, his body, his hands did not pre-enter the house before he entered the house. And therefore, Tumah Bia Bahadi Adadi Kasi, that's why we're going to be speaking, that's how we can come up with a case where the two Lavin come together. In other words, as Tosfos explains, there's a difference in halacha between where his hands entered the house first, separate from the rest of his body, versus where his hands are right next to his body. Since his hands are right next to his body, then the halacha is that it's considered it all happened at the same time. But ask the Gemara, even if he was able to put his hands right next to his body, and by putting his hands right next to his body, he has avoided anything coming, the hands coming in first. But ask the Gemara, hey, Efshur, Delay Ayal Chayt Mebereshay, we know that a person's nose protrudes from his face. And since his nose protrudes from his face, doesn't his nose enter the home before he does? And therefore, Nachas Lay Tumah, that brings Tumah first. And since it brings the Tumah first, that's why he should be considered Tameh. And therefore, when he comes in, he can't be over the Lav of Layavai, because somebody who's already Tameh can't get the other Lav. He's Tameh anyway. Ela Merava, Hichnas Yadai, if somebody only put his hand into the house, or his nose into the house, and then only the rest of his body came to the house, Mishum Duma Ika, he will have the Lav of Tumah. Mishum Bialeka, he won't be over the Lav of Layavol, because he's already as Tame as you're going to get. And since he's already as Tame as somebody's going to get, there's no room for another Lav to be effective. Here, we're talking about Hichnas Gufoi, where he put in most of his body. That means he put his head back. And since he put his head back, so his body entered the home before his head entered the home. And therefore, this will be a situation of Tumah Bia Bahadi Adadi Kasia, where these two Tumas come simultaneously. Ask the Gemara, why will this help? When he walks, even if he's sticking his head backwards, his foot is going to be entering the home first. And again, we're going to have the problem of Nachas Lo Tumah, that the Tumah comes, and therefore, once the Tumah comes, the other Tumah of the hair of the Lo Yavai will not be effective. So Tosfos asked the question, why don't we just explain that he walked in backwards? And since he walked in backwards, there isn't the issue that we just mentioned, that his feet come in first. So Tosfos answers that if somebody would walk in backwards, it would not be chayiv for the lav of a nazar having lo yavoi, that he's not allowed to enter the oil ames. Because bia, entering, is only when somebody enters in the normal way. This is not considered a bia ba'oil ames. So ask Rav Chaim Brisker and Chazanish. They both ask, we're going to learn that if somebody entered a cemetery, somebody entered the oil ames in a box, he's going to be chayv for layavai. But that isn't also derech bia. And nobody ever suggested that you shouldn't be chayv. And we're actually going to learn that you're certainly chayv for layavai, even if you walk in, even if the person enters the home in a box. Says Reb Chaim, this that Tosfos says that when you walk backwards, it's not considered bia, is a new halacha. The halacha is that somebody who walks not in the normal fashion of walking, that's not considered bia. But adds Reb Chaim, another point. That's also the only time that that would be an exemption is if most of you hasn't come in that way. So as we're learning, if you're walking backwards, so that's not a normal bia, and most of you isn't in the home, then it's not considered the lava la yavai. But if you walked in, if you came in a box, so even though that's not necessarily the normal way of somebody entering a home, but says Reb Chaim, but you are entirely in the Oyla Meis. Since you're not in entirely the Oyla Meis, that's why, says Reb Chaim, even though it's not the normal fashion of entering, you'll be chayiv for lo yavai. Chazanish has a much simpler approach. Chazanish says people don't walk backwards. And since people don't walk backwards, the halacha is that he's not chayiv for lo yavai if he walked in backwards. He says, but people are transported in boxes. And since people are at times transported in boxes, that's not what Tosfos means when it says it's not a derech bia. Elam our papa, because of these questions, where again the Gemara is trying to find a situation where he'll be chayiv for both lavin at the same time. Elam our papa, we're going to have to explain kigoyin shenichnas b'shed etayv migdo. This person was brought into the home in a box, or ba chaveira paralav as a maziva, and somebody else now came and opened up the lid of the box. The tumah bia b'hadadi ka'asyon, in such a situation, both tumas come together. So, asked the Yeshua Yaakov, why couldn't the Gemara have given a different teretz? The Gemara should have answered that there was a home that had a wall in between the room of where this nozzle was and where the mace was, and there was a mechitza between those two rooms, and then somebody made a hole in that mechitza, in that wall, and since somebody made a hole in that wall, that's why he becomes both tumas come at the same time. Says the Yeshua Yaakov, making a hole in a mechitza is only tumah midrabbanan, and here we're referring to tumah deraisa. But the Chasam Sofer asks, so the Gemara says that the person was brought into the home in a box, and then somebody else opened up the box. So the question asked the Chasam Sofer, why do we have to speak about that somebody else opened the box? Why can't we speak about a case that he himself opened the box? So in fact, I saw that the Sefer Be'er Moshe explains that the Gemara is speaking about a case where somebody else opened the box, but it wouldn't make a difference if somebody else opened the box or he opened the box. It would all be the same. The Chasam Sofer, however, says that if he opened the box himself, he would be opening up part of the box and then opening up the rest of the box. Once he opens up part of the box, he becomes tamei. The lav of lo yavai is only after somebody, when the entire box would be open or most of the box would be open. In order to be able to make that happen, it's done by somebody else just lifting the cover of the box at one time. But Tosfos points out that not only as the Be'er Moshe said, are we speaking about a case where we could be speaking about a case where he opened the box, but Tosfos says that actually at the minimum, he has to be helping to open the box. Because if he didn't participate in the opening of the box, then he didn't do anything. And why would he be chayiv? It would be a lav shem b'maisa. He didn't do anything, and therefore it has to be that he participated in the opening of the box. Other Rishonim disagree. And they say the fact that he went into the box and that box was brought into the house with him in it is already considered enough of a tumah. The question that many Rishonim, however, discuss is that it seems from here that an oil zarek, there's a question throughout Shas, if an oil zarek, an oil that moves around, is shmei oil. From this Gemara, it seems that an oil zarek, shmei oil, because the Gemara is saying that as long as he's in the closed box, he would not be tamei. And the Mishnah Melech asked that there's a stira in the Rambam. is an oil zaruk shmei oil or not shmei oil? On one hand, the Rambam paskins like our Gemara, but on the other hand, asks the Mishlo Melech that in other areas of halacha, the Rambam holds that oil zaruk lo shmei oil. So how do we reconcile these two halachas? So the Mishlo Melech says an interesting teretz. He says there's two halachas. There's one shaila, is an oil zaruk considered an oil or not? And the Rambam indeed holds that oil zaruk is not considered oil. But the issue that's under discussion over here is not if the oil zaruk is an oil. The issue over here is the oil zaruk, this is, could it serve as a mechitza, as a chatzitza between this nazir and the tumah. As far as that is concerned, it's considered, as far as that is concerned, it's considered an adequate chatzitza. The Mishlo Melech offers another teretz, and I would understand the Rambam. He wants to differentiate between an oil zoruk when it's moving versus an oil zoruk when it's on the ground. Says the Mishlo Melech, Al Gemara is speaking about the spax as it's on the ground with the nozer in it. That even the Rambam will agree that even though it's a box, and therefore it's an oil zoruk, it's movable, but since it's right now stationed on the ground, it's considered an oil. It's considered an oil as far as this person is concerned, that it should not be considered as he becomes tamei. When the Rambam says an oil zoruk lo shmei oil, the Rambam is saying that when the oil is moving. Says the Gemara, Ma'abar Ravashi Amar, Ma'abar Ravashi is looking for another situation how both lavim could come simultaneously. Ma'abar Ravashi Amar could go in the oil kishigoises. When the nazir entered the home, when this person was a goises. And then, v'nafak nashase adi Yosef, and while the nazir is sitting in that home, this person nebuch was nifter. In such a case, the tumah biya, ba'adi adadi kasyan, the tumah and the biya come at the same time. So Taisus, so Shita quotes the Taisus Arash, that says, from this Gemara it seems, we can have a raya, that asra sofik shma asra. Because if somebody walked into the home when the individual was not yet dead, and you give the nazir hasra, as we spoke about in the previous year, you're not allowed to walk into that house. There's a person who's tameh, you can't be sore. He's still alive. So l'chayr, from here we have a raya that hasra sofik is considered a hasra. But the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that this is not considered hasra sofik. Because since Roiv Geisesin Lemisa, most people who are Geisesin are going to unfortunately pass away. Since most people pass away, that's why it's considered a valid Hasra that he went into the place that he's not supposed to go. And in fact, I saw the Achroinim explain that this is maybe the Machloikis between the Teretz of Rav Papa and Rav Ashi. Is this considered that the person did a lav, the nazir did a lav, walking into a home where the person is a geisus? According to Rav Ashi, as we just explained, since Roiv geisusin lemisa, that's why it's considered as if the nazir walked into the home of a mace. Rav Papa is not ready to accept that explanation. And therefore, since he's not ready to accept that explanation, that's why he came up with the explanation that he was in a box. Tanra bottom. The Torah speaks about the Isser of a coin to become Tamei. And the Torah says, Lo'yitama ba'ba emav le'echaloi. Le'echaloi. From here we learned that, says the Tanakama, that at shosh yomus, that if a person is not dead yet, he's not metama. Rabbi Omer, the Rabbi says, there's a different pasuk. This pasuk is a pasuk that speaks about the isser of a nazir to become tameh. The pasuk says, "La'aviv v'le'imay la'achiv v'le'chaysev lo'yitamlam b'maysam." So he learns the word maysam. There's an extra maysam that yitma, he becomes tameh at shiyamas. That he can become tameh even before the person, only when the person is dead is there an usser to become tameh. Yitma, Achiyamas, before he's dead, you'll let him become Tamei. And so too will be the halacha regarding a Kohen. So ask the Gemara, they're both essentially saying the same thing. So what's the machloikis? My benayu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Machloikis between them is that the entire machloikis is to which pasuk do we learn this from? But there is no halachic nafkamina. The machloikis is going to be regarding a geisus. Lamanda Amar, according to the Tanakhama that learns it from the word laichanoi, the halacha will be a fila geisus. A kayin, a nazar, may not come in contact with a geisus because they hold that a geisus is also considered somebody in the category of being a cholol. Lamanda b'maysam, whereas Rebbe, who learns it from the word b'maysam, so that's very clear. At shiyomis in, there's no tumma until the person actually dies. Geisus, but if it's only a geisus, loy. Ask the Gemara, well, lamanda m'leicholoi, according to the man that learns it from Eicholoi. And therefore, he's going to say that even a goisis, a nazir, a koi may not be exposed to. Laman dam leicholoi, haksib, b'maisam, answers the Gemara, mibay leicha Rebbe. He's going to say for the word maisam is coming to teach us a different halacha. The Tanya Rebbe, omer b'maisam, shenem etama, that a nazir is not allowed to become tamei to a mace. Even if the mace is a relative, matam b'negasim is a rasam. But the halacha is the tumah that a nazir has to separate himself from is only a tumas mace, not any other type of tumah. Ask the Gemara the other way. Ulaman damah b'maisam hamabay la'alahai svara that tumah of that a nazir and a kohen may not be exposed to is only when they're dead. If they're goisis, it's not a problem. Answers the Gemara, Imkan Lamakra b'mois. If that's what the Torah meant to say, it should say b'moisam. B'moisam, what do we do b'moisam? Shema min atarti. We learned two din, that there's a din of a geisus, and it doesn't apply to any other tumah. Ulamandam b'moisam aksiv leicholoi, that seems to indicate that a geisus already is a problem. And so Gemara, he learns leicholoi lehochi da'isa, b'mi she'ena mechol. A nazir who is not yet tameh, may not become tamei. Yotz Hashem Cholol Ba'Omid. If somebody is already tamei, as we've learned, if somebody's already tamei, he's not over a laugh for exposing himself to tumah again because he's already tamei. Says the Gemara. Ulamanda Omar, according Ulamanda Omar Leicholai. The man that used Hecholoi to teach us that a geisus is also giving tumah, where will he learn this halacha for? Hamibay lahai svara answers the Gemara, im kain, it would be adequate, leimakra leichol. It would be enough to Torah to use the word leichol. What does it say, leicholoi? My leicholoi, shema min atati, to teach us two halachas. One halacha is that if he's already tumay, that he can become tumay again. But on the other hand, the halacha is that he's not allowed to become tamei to a geisus. Meisvei. Ask the Gemara on the opinion of Reish Lakish. It says in the Mishnah, in Masecht Olos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, says the Mishnah, Adam enem etamei, ala etch teitze nafshei. A person doesn't give off tuma until he actually expires. Vafilu meguyed. And even if he's full of many wounds, vafilu geisus, and even if he's a geisus, the halacha is that he doesn't give off tumah. The El Yerabah explains that what is the difference between a maguyid and a geisus. He explains a maguyid is somebody who's in very bad physical shape, but he still has his mental capacity. A geisus is a person that not only is he in terrible physical shape, but he no longer has mental capacity. That they don't give off tumah, a maguyid and a geisus, says the Mishnah, don't give off tumah. But ask the Gemara, Ulamanda Amar Leicholoi, according to the man Amar, Reish Lakish said that the word Leicholoi teaches us that a nazir, a kohen, may not expose himself to a geisus, Haktani Einam Etama. But here we have a Mishnah that clearly teaches us that they don't give off tumah. Answers the Gemara, Linyan Tumuyei, as far as the halacha of tumah, indeed, the halach is a person doesn't give off tumas meis ad nafik nafshe until he actually expires. However, linyan aschule is this individual who's a geisus considered like cholai. There, says the Gemara, that he's already considered in that category, ha'eschol, even though he's still technically alive. The halacha is that a kohen hedjet, even though we just learned the kohen may not become tamei, the halacha is a kohen hedjet is allowed to become tamei to one of his seven close relatives, his father, his mother, his brother, his son, his daughter, his brother, his sister, who's a psula, and his wife. And now we're going to begin discussing what circumstances may or may not a kohen become tamei to one of these relatives. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav, Nik the Rosh Shalaviv, if one's father's whole head was decapitated, Eidim Atamaloi, the kohen has not allowed to become tamei to his father under those circumstances. Says the Gemara, Mai Tama, why? Amar Krah, because the Pasuk says, La'aviv, from here we learn, Bezman Shu Shalim, when his father is whole, that's when the halacha is, he's allowed to become tamei to him, V'loi Bezman Shu Chaser, but not when his father is not whole. So, asked Ratfaz, our Gemara says that if his head is missing, Rechman Otzlan, that is when a person is not allowed to become, a kohen is not to become tamei to his father. But our Gemara is going to teach us that if the father is not whole in any way, one is not allowed to, the din that a kohen becomes tamei doesn't apply. So how do we understand this when the case that we just learned, Rav Chisda says, is strictly the father, the head? Says the Ratvaz, any missing limb would be an issue. So why did Rav Chisda specifically speak about a missing head? Because we would think that the head is considered a very significant part of a human being's body. And here we have the body, Rachman Slan, and the head right next to it. So it should be considered that even though the head is unfortunately decapitated, it should be considered like it's all one, Kamash Malan, that it's not. Another pshat is that what Rav Chisda is teaching us, says Ratvaz, is only if the head is completely decapitated, that's when we have this issue. But if the head is still somewhat connected, then the kohen can become tamei to his father on that. Another teretz that he gives is that the Gemara spoke about the most common case. In those times, the most common case that you would have somebody missing a limb is that they were decapitated. But it's not only the head. The Ratvaz says that the Ratvaz says a very big chiddush. The Ratvaz says that this halacha, if the person is not whole, the kohen can't become tamei to him, says the Ratvaz, is only if when the person was nifter when he was whole, and then he lost, part of his body was removed. But if the person, the relative of the kohen, already was in this situation while he was still alive, then the halacha is, says the Ratvaz, and the Ramban says the same, that the kohen would be allowed to become tamei. Because if this was what this person looked like when he was alive, then that's who this person is. And since that is who that person is, the halacha is that the kohen is allowed, then the kohen is allowed to become tamei to him, even though he's not whole. The night of Yehuda, the Shalos Teshuvos, night of Yehuda, Yoredei Tanyana, Simon Resh Tes, discusses Rachman Slan, the case of a kohen who his legs were amputated. And the question is the kohen allowed to hold onto those legs to show them to other people? That will cause people to have rechmanos on him. And says the Noida Behuda, a kohen is not allowed to become tamei to the avarim of a person. And since the person is it's considered something that gives tumah, and a kohen who's not allowed to be exposed to tumah may not be exposed to that tumah. The Paiskim clearly agree with the psak of the Ratfaz and the Ramban, and they agree that the halacha is that if the kohen's relative was missing a aver while he was still alive, the halacha will be that the kohen can become tamei to him after this person passes away. An interesting question We just said from the night of Yehuda that any aver of a person gives off tuma as well. And since the halacha is that any aver of a person gives off tuma, the question that comes up is, let's say a kohen lost one of his averim. And now, Baruch Hashem, with modern medicine, that it could be reattached. Is the kohen allowed to have that aver reattached? An argument perhaps could be made that reattaching that aver means that you're attaching to the person that you're reattaching to the person that's something that's tame. So to that, the Paiskim say that if the aver can be reattached, so the aver that can be reattached is not that it was missing and they became tame. Since it could be reattached, it's not considered an aver that's tame. But the question is, so we just learned that an aver gives off tuma. And the question is, if an aver gives off tuma, what's going to be the halacha of an aver that's currently detached, but it's going to be reattached? Do we say that since it's going to be reattached, it's not considered an aver that gives off tuma, or is it considered while it's detached tame, and when it's going to be reattached, it won't be tame anymore? It seems that the Paiskim saying that certainly, as we just said, that while it's reattached, it's not an issue, but the Paiskim seem to say that if it's going to be reattached, That's already enough for it to be considered that it's not considered like a regular aver that gives off tuma. Amalei Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna now asks Rav Chisda, Elamei Ata, now that you learn that a kohen can't become tuma to his father when his body is not whole, what will be the halacha, he asks, Ka'azav ba'afakta da'arvis, if a kohen is going with his father in a place called Aravis, a dangerous place, and bandits came and decapitated his father's head. So we're going to say, well, he's decapitated. Why will he not be allowed to become tame? It's difficult to understand. There's no one to take care of him. Amalu, so if Chizda said to Rav Hamnuna, I don't really understand your question. Meis mitzvah, comrade, you're asking a question from Meis mitzvah. Hashti yeshloima. Na bachrina, if a kohen, even though he's not allowed to become tamei, but there's a halacha of a meis mitzvah, and he's certainly allowed to become tamei to meis mitzvah, but chrina mechayiv, if the kohen is mechuyiv to become tamei to meis mitzvah, but aviv lekoshkein, so certainly the Gemara is saying that by a meis mitzvah, everybody's allowed to become tamei, and when we speak about a meis mitzvah, there's no reason to differentiate a meis mitzvah if he's whole or not whole. Ask the Gemara, v'hei meis mitzvah hu, why are we calling this person a meis mitzvah? V'tanya, have we not learned in a braisa, ezu meis mitzvah, who's considered a meis mitzvah? Kol shalei kair ivrim, there's no one who could bury him. Kairim v'cherim oinim meisoi, but if he would call out and somebody will come help him, ain't ze meis mitzvah. V'hei esle bera, and he has a son. There's a machlokes rishonim with the Gemara is teaching us what is the meis mitzvah. Is it if the person who finds the nifter calls out and there's no one there to help him? That's one pshat. The other pshat in a meis mitzvah is if this person who is unfortunately dead were alive and he was calling out for help, he would be able to have somebody to help him, that then he's not a meis mitzvah. But if he's in a place that even if he called out, there would be no one here to help him, he's not a meis mitzvah. So the Gemara is suggesting now that since his son is with him, he should not be considered a meis mitzvah. Says the Gemara, kimin de kazu b'orcha, this person is on the road. So even though indeed his son is with him, it doesn't make a difference. Ein lekayrim dami, there's no one over there. And since there's no one over there, the halacha is he's considered a meis mitzvah, even though there's no one else there, even though he has a son along with him. There's an interesting question that the Paiskim, the Rishonim debate. So we're learning now that a Kohen or a Nazir, who under normal circumstances are not allowed to be exposed to Tumah, if they come in contact with a Meis Mitzvah, the halacha is that they are allowed to be metapel, they're allowed to take care in burying the Meis Mitzvah. What is the halacha, however, debate the Rishonim? If they would be able to spend money to avoid having to have to bury this Meis Mitzvah, are they obligated to spend money or do whatever they can to avoid burying the Meis Mitzvah? Or is the halacha that since the Torah says that a Meis Mitzvah, a Kohen, a Nazir, are allowed to be metametu, they're allowed to be metametu? Taisha says that, of course, they should do whatever they can to avoid becoming tamei. The Rashba and the Namuka Yosef disagree. And they say that the Torah says that they're allowed to be metamei to Meis Mitzvah, and they don't have to try to avoid becoming tamei. Explain the Achroinim, that what is the machloikis between Tosfos and the Rashba. Tosfos' opinion is that this, that we're a Nazir, a Kohen, allowed to become tamei to Meis Mitzvah, is the Chuya. We often have this discussion in Shas. The Chuya means that the Torah reluctantly set its mutter. And therefore, if it's only the Chuya, if we could do something to avoid that, that's what we have an obligation to do. That's what we have an obligation to do. And therefore, Taisha says, if the Nazir or the Kohen are able to do something not to have to be take care of the Meis Mitzvah, that's what they have to do. The Rashba, on the other hand, holds that it's the Hutra, that it's the Torah says it's Mutter. As far as, even though he's a Kohen, or even though this person's a Nazir, there is no din of Tumah when we're speaking about a Meis Mitzvah. And therefore, the halacha is that they don't have to spend money. However, everybody agrees that if there's anyone else available to take care of the Meis Mitzvah, the Kohen or the Nazir have no right. Another question is that if there's a Kohen and a Nazir, those are the two people who are available to be metapel with the Meis Mitzvah. Who should do it? Should it be the Kohen or should it be the Nazir? The Rishonim say it should be the Nazir. The Kohen has an inherent Kedusha. And not only is it an inherent Kedusha, it's a Kedusha that he was born with, and it's a Kedusha that can never leave him. The Nazir wasn't born with that Kedusha. He's not, most cases, he will not be a Nazir forever. And furthermore, as we often discuss, a Nazir could be shoyl on his Naziris. He can go to Rav and be matir his Naziris. And therefore, the Kedusha of a Nazir is a lesser Kedusha than the Kedusha of a Kohen. And therefore, given the option of a Kohen or a Nazir, the Nazir should be the one to take care of the Meis Mitzvah. The Gemara goes back to ask on Rav's halacha. The Rav has taught us that a son is not allowed to be metamet to his father when the body is not whole, a kohen. Meisvei, the pasuk says, "Lechaisa psula krev alav shlohaisa leish lo yitama." So we learn from here, lohu metama, that he's metamet to his sister when she's a whole nifteres. Veinu metama lemevarel, but he's not metama if only it's a limb of her. Lefish enu metama levim menachai shel aviv. He's not allowed to be metama. Even to his father, he's not letting him become tamei if it's just one of his limbs. Ava machso aletzim kusayra. But the halacha is, he goes back for a barley, for a bone the size of a barley. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Machso amachso etzim kusayra. Lever memra, the mechseporta, that when he buried his father was missing a bone. The halacha is that he's still allowed to go and be metamei to his father. So isn't this a raya that a Kohen is allowed to become tamei to his father even when he's not whole? Says the Maloi, Hikar Rabbi Yehuda. That b'raisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the halacha is not that a Kohen cannot become tamei only when the relative is whole. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda teaches us Amala. We just learned the pasuk says regarding a chois a lo yitama, metam ve'en metam lo yivarea. Eni metam if his father is already nifter, he can even become tamei to retrieve a bone. So we see that everybody agrees that Rachman Tzlan, if a Kohen's father loses a limb, the halacha is that you don't go, the kohen, his son, cannot become tamei to it. But on the other hand, if there's a case where the kohen, if there's a case where the kohen father died, even though he's not whole, you're allowed to be metama, and even allowed to be metama to put the whole body together. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya Rav Kahana, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, learned at Bryce, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught us. Law, from here we learn metama vei metama le'evarim. Pratlam kazayis ben eis, that a kohen's not allowed to become tamei to kazayis ben eis, or kazayis netzel, he's not allowed to become tamei to the body fluids that exit of Mace's body, or Marley Talvid Rekev, he's not allowed to become tamei to the dust of a parent that decomposed. Yochalai Tamle Shedra, we would think that he can't become tamei to the entire spine, or the gagoilis, or to the skull, or the Roy Binyonai, if you have most of the Nifter's body, or the Roy Binyonai, we know that there are 240 Avrim. So if more than half of those Avrim still exist, the halacha is he's allowed to become tamei to his relative under those circumstances, because the pasuk says, "Ksiv emal kahana b'nei Aaron v'marta leim hasav lachot kasav tamei acheres." The pasuk already said, "Emar kahanim." Why does the pasuk also have to say "v'marta aleim"? And even though we know Rashi says that. The pasuk says v'amata aleihem. The Rashi says this at the beginning of Parshas Emor to teach us l'hazir gedolim al ktanim, that the responsible people have to make sure that this is halacha for everyone else. Here, we're not the two limudim here. One is the repetition, and one is why does the Torah change the way it expresses itself? First, it says Emor, and then it says v'amati l'hoslcha. That even if you don't have the entire body of the nifter, the kohen is allowed to become tamei. So isn't this brisa that teaches that explicitly? And continues the brisa. Yochalai yitam l'shedim agavus l'roi binyana l'roi mimanyai shalachayrim. Omar to ma chaysoi yuchedish agufa t'loim loi. If it's a situation where his sister needs him to take care of her, umatam l'shedim agavus l'roi binyana l'roi mimanyai af kol shagufa t'loim loi. Anybody with a kohen has to take care of their burial, but tarloi the shedra l'goyos l'roi binyana l'roi binyana. So we see that the kohen can become tamei even if we don't have the entire body. Answers the Gemara hahi nam Rabbi Yehuda. That brisa too represents the opinion of Yehuda. Dama kaitana. He teaches us as this brisa taught us. Tanya ma'ase shemeis avosh Rabbi Yitzchak beginzik, the father of Yitzchak. Passed away in Ginzik. Uboy v'diu lachash l'shanim. They only informed him 3 years after he passed away. Uboy v'shosh b'shua ben Elisha v'ab zakenim sh'imoy. He now came to ask b'shua ben Elisha and other talmidechum with him. Is he allowed to expose himself to his father, to be mitam himself to his father? V'amaloi, and they said that he may not, because l'aviv. Bizman shu shalim, he's only allowed to be mitam himself to his father when his father is whole. V'loi bizman shu chaser, not when the father is not whole anymore. And presumably the Gemara says that after 3 years, he wasn't whole. And we see clearly there's a Tana that agrees that if the nifter is not completely whole anymore, the kohen is not allowed to be metama. This Gemara is a very important piece of Gemara because it teaches us two important halachas. One is the question, is one supposed to notify a relative about the patira of a father? So in general, there's an issue to try to be the one, to try to avoid being the one to tell people bad news, to be the one to tell people that somebody was nifter. We even had a discussion, we quoted once the tshuva from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld Zatzal, and the Shalsa tshuva Simos Chaim Yerideya, Simon Tuch Chav Zayin. The question is, are you allowed to print an obituary in the newspaper? Because it's letting people know that somebody died. And he writes that it's only, since it's not saying it, you're not explicitly saying it, and it's also being done for the cover of the mace, maybe there's room to be lenient. But the Paiskim also said, and that's why the minig was, that they used to pour out the water in the neighborhood where there was a nifter. Why did they pour out the water in the neighborhood where there was a nifter? Since they did not want to explicitly say that this person was nifter, so the way that they avoided saying it explicitly is by just putting, by pouring out the water, and everybody understood that somebody was nifter. I saw another minute that they used to have was that they used to give two bangs on the beam and the shul. By banging twice in the beam and the shul, that was a simon that somebody was nifter, but not to say it. But the Paiskim, however, do say that to tell a son is different, because the son is the one that's going to say Kaddish on the father, and that is a big, something very important for the neshama, and that could be said. So why wasn't it said here? Presumably, there was a good reason not to say. I once heard a story that Rav Rudeman Zatzal, Rosh Shiva Yeshivas Nei Yisrael, father was nifter while he was learning in the Slabodka Yeshiva. And a letter arrived in the yeshiva that Rav Rudeman's father was nifter, and the Alt of Slabodka decided not to tell Rav Rudeman, because Rav Rudeman was in the middle of a project of finishing Shas. He knew that if he would tell Rav Rudeman about the death of his father, that project would not be finished. And he felt that the biggest favor that Rav Rudeman could do for the neshama of his father is to indeed finish Shas. Here we also have a discussion about exhuming a body of a nifter. And here we said that the Gemara, they wanted to exhume this body after 3 years. And the question is, we know the halacha is that the halacha is very strict about not being mefana kever. And here, the suggestion was that they were to be mefana the kever. Only the issue was that he was a kohen. So the Paiskim explained that it was a case that they were going to take him to Mokum Kfuras Avoisov. And since they were taking them to Mokum Kfuras Avoisov, where his family was buried, under those circumstances, maybe one can remove a body. Also, there are Paiskim that take a stricter approach about removing a body during the Yud Beis Chodesh, during the first 12 months after a person was nifter, versus after the 12 months. For they explain that during the first 12 months, the nifter is under the Cherdas Adin. He's under the fear of being taken back for din v'cheshbin. But after 12 months, the din v'cheshbin that the person has to go through after he leaves the world is over, and therefore we could be a little more lenient in moving the niftarim. But in mitzvah Hashem, Hashem should help that we should soon be zoicha to tchias ha-meisim, and all the niftarim with us together will go to Yerushalayim, habenuya b'mehera b'yameinu.